Brother Joe Arthur with us in these days together. Amen, Brother Joe. It's yours, my brother.
All right. Good to see you tonight. You're glad to be saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10 in your Bible. And Brother Jim, I believe I've heard you sing that song before years ago when I was just a little boy. And I appreciate that. And really, we was all youngins at one time. And Billy Kelly said, you started singing, you was 9 or 10 years old. And I know this, that if your last name is Burns, you probably can sing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I appreciate that great song. I didn't know Brother Brian could sing so well. But that's awesome, son. That's good. And that's his daddy over there. And you don't got to worry about him having long hair, bless God. I'll tell you that right now. Brother Mays, if he was alive tonight, he'd be so proud of me. When I first told Brother Mays that I'd called to preach, he said, I don't know, Joe. He said, you got to be fat and bald-headed. Mays, you'd be proud of me tonight. Well, Brother Billy Kelly said, I'm not fat. I just got a chicken coop. Say amen right there. And I'm glad to be under this tabernacle. This is my crowd.
Amen.
My phone rang the other day, and one of my biggest critics has started a rumor on me. Said, Joe's left the camp meeting crowd. He's left the camp meeting crowd. He's went dignified. He's left the camp meeting crowd. This is my 6th outdoor meeting to preach this year, and I got about 6 more outdoor meetings to go, not counting the indoor camp meetings. One of those really is not a camp meeting. It's more like of a cramp meeting, but we're going to go anyway. But I love it. This is my crowd. And I'm so glad to be among friends. I love you folks. God is good to us. I told my wife today, it's good to go preach in a place that you get as much out of it as you put into it. And a lot of places are not that way. I go to some churches to preach. It takes me 6 months to get over it. I'm not lying. But it's good to go to a place where they recognize preaching.
Amen.
Where they respond to preaching.
Amen.
Brother Mays Jackson said he was up north one time. And this little holdingless lady come. Heard him on the radio. And he was at this big old dignified Baptist church. And said, quiet as a mouse. And said that woman went, whoo! Hallelujah! Said a deacon walked over there and said, you be quiet, ma'am. A few minutes she got blessed. She said, whoop, thank you, Jesus. That deacon walked back over there and said, you got to be quiet. She said, I got salvation. He said, you didn't get it in this church. Now be quiet. Brother May said in a few minutes he got to preaching and he said something else. She said, whoo, glory to God. He said that time 2 deacons came. And got one arm of that lady and the other arm of that lady and picked her up and hauled her out the door. And Brother Mays said as she was going out the door, she turned around and said, hallelujah, Brother Mays. Jesus went to town on 1 and I'm riding out on 2. Now, if you didn't get that, Dr. Moneyham will be explaining it to you. At the end of the service tonight. If you save, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. And if you're glad about it, just wave both of them and say, thank you, Jesus. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. And I want to read some scriptures about this parable of the Good Samaritan. But I'm not going to preach on him tonight as much as I am. Another thought the Lord has given us out of this passage. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed. And say this out loud with me, and leaving him half dead. I believe in total depravity. I don't believe in total inability. Jesus said, the dead shall hear my voice.
Amen.
And he said in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Yeah.
And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Aren't you glad tonight that that's not the end of that story? And aren't you glad tonight the story of your life does not end dead in trespasses and in sin? The next verse begins with a heavenly conjunction, but. I'm glad one day God butted in. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He quoted it last night. All those things he mentioned shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but you are washed. Aren't you glad for the day when Jesus butted in? Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. And I want you to say this line out loud with me. And brought him to an inn. And brought him to an inn. He not only didn't leave him like he found him. He didn't leave him where he found him. Praise God. Can I say that again? He not only did not leave him like he found him, but he didn't leave him where he found him. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. I'm glad he didn't leave me like he found me. Praise God, I'm enjoying this and I'm just an introduction. But I'm glad also he didn't leave me where he found me. The Bible said about Israel, he brought them out that he might bring them in. And brought him to an inn. Say that out loud with me again. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And said unto him, take care of him. Well, that's what he had been doing. But he's going away for a while. And in his stead, in his absence, he said to the host in that inn, you do what I've been doing. You take care of him. And he gave him what he needed before he left. And then he made him this promise. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when, praise God, when I come again, I will repay thee. I'm interested tonight in that little phrase in verse number 34, where it said that he brought him to an inn. And I want to preach on that little inn tonight. What is that inn? Where was that inn? And what does all of that mean? Well, what is an inn? Well, it's a lodging place. What is an inn? It's a home away from home while you on your way home. And it serves just like home until you get home. This man was not home, but he had a home while he was away from home. And it was sufficient till he got home. You know what the church is to you and I? It is our home away from home while we're on our way home. And the closest you'll get to home down here is when you come into the house of the Lord. It is our home away from home. It is our home while we're in a strange land. It is our home while we're in a weary land. And it is our home while we're in a temporary land. I've just described this world to you and I. That is a strange land. And the further I go with God, the more strange this world gets. How many do not feel like a square peg in a round hole? You just don't fit. They sing strange songs. They serve strange gods. And in our day, they dress in strange ways. I'm wondering if they even live on the same planet that I live. But Brother Scott, I am just as strange to them as they are strange to me. They don't enjoy my songs either. They don't enjoy my lifestyle either. They don't love my Jesus either. Brother, it may be strange to them, but he's the dearest friend I've ever had. It is a strange world in which we live. It is a weary world in which we live. And sometimes we're vexed and we're troubled and we get weary living in such a strange world. But I'm glad tonight it is not only a strange world and a weary world, it is a temporary world. Amen. Brother, we're not here for long.
Amen.
We're just passing through. Amen. This world is not our home.
Amen.
We're strangers to this world, but praise God, we're citizens of the glory world. And the end, the church, the body of Christ, when we come together and worship the Lord, it is our home away from home while we're on our way home. And it will do till we get home. What was that end? What is an end? Well, it is a place where the stranger is welcome. When I checked in over here last night, the Hampton Inn, that is not my permanent dwelling. I mean, it's a nice place, but I don't live over there. That's not my address. But because somebody paid the fare, the stranger was made welcome. I'm enjoying my stay. If you've stayed some places I've stayed, you would thank God for Hampton Inn. Anybody here ever been to Motel 6? I've been to Motel 1. But I don't live over there. But I was welcomed over there. I'm telling you tonight, our churches ought to be a place where the stranger is welcome. It is a place not only where the stranger is welcome, it is a place where the hungry are fed. Man, it is a place where those that are hungry can pull up to the table and be fed. By the way, this world is not our feeding place anymore. That prodigal son, when he came to himself, dropped the pail, kicked the rail, and hit the trail, and said, I'm going to my father's house. He's got bread and bread to spare. And aren't you glad Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed? He invites not his frozen, but chosen people. Come and dine. It is a place where the hungry are fed.
Amen.
Number three tonight, it is a place where the weary are rested. It is a place where the traveler can lay down his heavy load. It is a place where a wayfaring man can lay down his burdens and rest a while before he continues his journey. Boy, how many times have we come to the house of the Lord tired and weary and wore out? But somebody would sing about Jesus. And somebody would pray to Jesus. And somebody would get full of God and shout about Jesus. And then the man of God would preach about Jesus. Boy, it's not long to us wayfaring travelers find rest for their soul.
Amen.
Brother, there's something about being with God's people that's restful and peaceful. For it is a place where the strangers are welcome. It is a place where the hungry are fed. It is a place where the weary are rested.
Amen.
That inn is a place where the dirty are cleansed.
Amen.
As that traveler's been in that wilderness coming up that dusty road.
Yes.
He knows that in that inn is a place of cleansing and refreshment. Man, he can take him a good bath and change his clothes and, praise God, get cleansed from being on a dirty journey. Brother, this is a dirty, filthy, diabolical world in which we live. But when I step into the inn, when I step into the church, when I step into the house of God, it's a clean feeling in me. By the way, there ought to be a sense of purity and cleansing and sanity when you go to the house of God. It ought not to have a bar room or a dance hall feel. It is the house of God. It ought not to be like a strip club or a burlesque joint. It ought to be a place where a man and woman can come and get their mind on God and keep their mind on God and feel clean when you leave the house of God. It is a place where the dirty are cleansed. It is a place where the hungry are fed. It is a place where the weary are rested. It is a place where the stranger is welcome. It is even a place where the sick can be healed. It's even a place where the sick can be healed. And all of us were sin sick when Jesus found us. But aren't you glad, praise God, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the Bible said, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Yes, I believe in physical healing. It is in the Bible. But if all you see is physical healing in the Bible, you've not read it deep enough, long enough, and far enough. Because the greatest healing that ever took place is when God looked beyond our fault and saw our need and resurrected our dead spirit and cleansed our dirty heart and purged our conscience from dead work and resurrected our old dead will and saved us by his grace. I want to tell you, the grace of God will make you clean. It'll make you better. It'll make you saved. It'll make you whole. And I'm glad there's a place that's a hospital for hurting people, where the balm is and where the joy is and where the blessings is. I'm glad when God found me, he didn't leave me like he found me. He didn't leave me where he found me. He brought me to an inn where the stranger is welcome, where the hungry are fed, where the weary are rested. I'm glad tonight I've got a home away from home while I'm on my way home. And it's not Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's not Moab, and it's not Egypt, and it's not the hog pen, and it's not the far country, but it's where they're singing about my Savior and rejoicing about my Savior and preaching about my Savior. I wonder if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight. You're glad when God found you and saved you. He brought you to an end, a home away from home, and there we rest and enjoy the good blessings of God.
Amen.
And so the title of my message tonight is this: we'll leave the light on for you. We'll leave the light on for you. Oh, I'm glad there is a place. Right here in our text tonight, there are three things that happens in this inn that is a picture of what God is doing in our life. Number one, write this down tonight. This end in our text was a place for the recovery of the sinner.
Amen.
It is a place for the recovery of the sinner. Our story begins tonight with a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He did not go up from Jericho to Jerusalem. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
Amen.
Jerusalem means the city of peace, prosperity, and blessing. Jericho was a place of nastiness and idolatry, and it had the judgment of God coming to it. That is a picture of the fallen state of lost men and women and boys and girls. We came from, we fell from, we went down. And the Bible said as this man is going down, he falls. And may I say tonight, when man fell in the garden, he fell all the way to the bottom. The Bible said when this man fell, the scripture said he fell among thieves. John chapter 10 tells us who the thief is. The thief is the devil who came to rob and kill and to steal and destroy. The Bible said when this man fell among the thieves, they did three things to this man. Number one, the Bible said they stripped him of his raiment. That means they took from this man the very clothes that was on his back. They violated this man. They stole from this man. They took this man's innocency. They took this man's covering and left him naked for the world to see. The Bible said after they stripped him of his raiment, number two, the scripture says they wounded him. The word wound in the text means more than just a surface scratch. It means more than a surface bruise. It literally means to cut the skin and the meat to go all the way down to the bone. It means to leave a man marred and scarred. It literally means to be deathly and mortally wounded. And then to add insult to injury. After they took his innocence and his covering and stripped him of his raiment. And after they left their mark upon him and mortally and deeply wounded him. The Bible said then they departed, leaving him that way. Man, that is exactly what the devil did to every one of us under this tabernacle tonight before the grace of God found us. We wasn't climbing Jacob's ladder, working our way to the top. Bless God, we fell off the ladder and fell into deep, dark depravity. We're not climbing our way up. We can't climb my way up. But I'm glad when I couldn't get to where he was, whoop, he came to where I was. May I tell you tonight, the salvation that's proclamated in that Bible did not originate in the heart of a totally depraved sinner. It originated in the mind and the heart of a wonderful, holy, wonderful, loving, gracious God. We fail all the way to the bottom. And the devil's done a number on humanity. You say, what did he do to me? Well, he stripped me of my innocence. And he stripped me of my covering. And spiritually, I'm naked before a thrice holy God, and we can do like Adam and Eve and try to sow us some fig leaves, but it won't do. I thought about this the other day. Adam and Eve goes over there and they jerk off them fig leaves and they sew themselves aprons, but what they didn't understand, when they pull them leaves off of that sap-giving vine and there was no more sap running to them leaves, in just a few days them leaves are going to wither, they're going to fade, and they're going to find themselves in the same condition they were when they put them on. And them fig leaves hid their nakedness from one another, and them fig leaves did pretty good till one day they heard the voice of God. And when sovereignty come to the garden, when holiness came to the garden, when the epitome of righteousness came to the garden, all of a sudden the fig leaves wouldn't do, and they ran and they hid. But here came God with his immaculate hands dripping in blood. For he didn't get some fig leaves. He got a blood covering and covered their nakedness. And the best thing that Adam and Eve ever did is when they took off the fig leaves and put on the blood covering. You say, what has that got to do with me? The devil stripped me of my innocence, and he stripped me of my purity, and I was naked before God and had nothing to appease God with. And so I got me some church membership, and I got me some water baptism, and I got me some good works, and I sowed them fig leaves together, but it wasn't no sap in it. It wasn't no Holy Ghost power in it, and it wasn't long till they began to wither and fade, and I found myself in the same shape I was in. But one night I heard the voice of God as he came to my garden and said, "Son, have I got a deal for you? Take off them fig leaves and put on a blood covering, and I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do is when I took off the old coat and I put on the new. And I don't stand before him tonight in the fig leaves of man-made religion, but I stand clothed in the bloody sacrifice of a Christ on a cross on a hill far away. And that's the only covering that I hide your sin from the all-seeing eye of a sovereign God." Stripped him of his raiment. That's what the devil's done to all of us. Well, the Bible said he wounded him, mortally wounded him, left its mark, left its scar, deeply, deeply wounded him. You say, how deeply wounded was man after the fall? I'll tell you how deeply wounded he was. According to the Bible, his mind was darkened. That's why a sinner doesn't understand spiritual things. His mind is darkened. 2 Corinthians 4 said, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." He was so mortally wounded that his mind was darkened. He was so mortally wounded that his spirit was dead. He was so mortally wounded that his will was disobedient. He was so mortally wounded that his heart was deceitful. And yes, he was so mortally wounded that even his physical body was dying because of the fall. And sin had left its scar, and sin had left its mark, for mankind was deeply, deeply wounded. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad one day the great physician came by and he poured in some goodness and poured in some mercy and poured in some grace, and he healed my wounded soul. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus Christ is right for what's wrong in men's lives? Satan has tripped us, and Satan has wounded us, and one day kick us off into hell and abandon us to let us go to hell forever and ever. That's where we all were. That's where we all lay dying. That's where we all went into hell from. But I'm glad, bless God, that's not the end of the story. He didn't stay stripped. He didn't stay wounded. He didn't stay deserted. Somebody came to where he was, and it wasn't the priest. It wasn't a Levite. It was somebody, whoop, that could look beyond his fault and see his need. Somebody that could look beyond him being wounded. Somebody could look beyond him being nude. Somebody looked beyond him being nasty and saw that he needed love and saw that he needed grace. I'm glad somebody passed by my way. And it wasn't the Baptist preacher. It wasn't the holiness preacher. It wasn't the Church of God preacher. It wasn't education, sanitation, or legislation. How do you pass by my way? Grace passed by my way. And mercy passed by my way. And justification passed by my way. And he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And not because of me, but in spite of me. Loved me like I was. Took me like I was. Saved me like I was. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Woo. He's laying there in that ditch. He's naked. He's wounded. The scripture said he's half dead. He's breathing. Air's in his lungs. Blood is pulsating through his veins. But he's not aware of his surroundings. He's naked and don't know it. He's wounded and don't know it. He's deserted and don't know it. Boy, I was lost and didn't know it. I was depraved and didn't know it. I was on my way to hell but didn't know it. But bless God, I found out about it when Jesus passed by. But I'm glad he didn't let what I didn't know keep him from doing what he knew what to do. Woo! Because the Bible said when that priest passed him by, and that, my God, I feel like preaching tonight, and that Levite passed him by. Oh, notice what it says in the text. It uses a little word your King James does about the Levite and the priest. It said, by chance, by chance, by chance. But when it comes down to the Good Samaritan, he throws the word chance right out the window. It says, as he journeyed, as he journeyed. You say, what does that mean? It may have been luck on the Levite's part. It may have been luck on the priest's part. But that Good Samaritan, it wasn't luck. It wasn't chance. It wasn't happenings. He planned it that way. He predetermined it that way. He chose that way. Lord God, can I tell you tonight that Calvary and redemption and the blood of Christ, it's not an afterthought. It's not an accident. He's the Lamb of God having been slain from the foundation of the world. There is no other argument. There is no other plea. There is no other way. God saves on purpose. Hey, God didn't slip up on your blind side and save you. God saved you because he meant to. He saved you because he wanted to. Woo! Bless God, I'm not saved by luck. I'm saved by the good grace of God. He meant to do it. He wanted to do it. Whoop! He chose to do it. Hallelujah and glory goes right. As he journeyed, came where he was. The Bible said, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The King James uses another interesting phrase. It says, and went to him. In plain old Georgia language, that means he got right down there where he was at. He identified with him. He got on his level. By the way, the salvation that's in this Bible is not man putting himself up on God's level. No, it's God, Emmanuel, coming to where we were and identifying with us. Lord God, can I quote some scripture? He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He came to where we were, whoop, so we may go to where he is. Aren't you glad? One day he looked beyond your fault, came to where you were and got down where you were, and he put his hands on you. He didn't get sick. He didn't vomit. He didn't throw up. He loved you and touched you just like you were. And the Bible says that he poured in. What he got was an inside job. Can I tell you what the Lord Jesus has given us? It's an inside job. Someone asked me the other day, said, how old are you, Brother Joe? And here's my answer. I'm old enough to remember my thylade and my curachrome. Now, you folks that was born in the light ages, you don't understand. Now, the ones older than I am got tobacco juice spit on you. Say amen. But how many remembers getting that methylate and mercurochrome? One of them didn't hurt too bad. But that other one, bless God, to make you do the holiness jerk, I'm telling you right now. More mama would put that stuff on there. Hey! What this man got wasn't some methylate. It wasn't some mercurochrome. It wasn't some of that antibiotic cream. It wasn't one of them band-aids. Lord God, he put it in him. Amen. He put it in him. Amen. You see, this man is so wounded. He is so dead. He is so lost. He is so depraved. He's got to have something that'll go deeper than his wound. He's got to have something that'll go deeper than his hurt. He's got to have something that will start on the inside and work its way to the outside. I want to tell you, when Jesus came by, I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't get a dose of reformation. Praise God, he gave me something deeper than my stain, and deeper than my shame, and deeper than my sin. It went deeper than the burden. It went deeper than the blind. It went deeper than the darkness. I'm glad salvation is an inside job, and it goes deeper than the surface. Poured it in. I'm going somewhere. Now the Bible said he poured in two things. He poured in oil and wine. We all know what that oil is in the Bible. It is a picture of the work of the Holy Ghost. And you know what Jesus did when he found you? He put the Holy Ghost in you. Brother, you did more than join a church and shake a preacher's hand and get baptized. Brother, you were doused with the Holy Ghost. Hell moved out and 90 acres of glory moved in. The oil of the Holy Ghost. You know what that oil is going to do? It's going to cause a cleansing. It's going to call a healing. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me, and he feeds me, and he guides me. He prepares a table before me. He does something else, he said. He anoints my head with oil. When I'm wounded in the battle, he will anoint me with the oil. I'm glad, bless God, there's no sin in your life. There's no habit in your life. There's no past in your life that you can't recover from when Jesus takes you to the end and turns the Holy Ghost loose in your life. And the oil of the Holy Ghost and the oil of the Spirit. You say, preacher, I sure wished I could get over what I used to be. Well, come here. God's forgot it. Why don't you forget it? God doesn't remember it anymore. Why don't you forget it? You can recover from being messed up and abused and boogered up through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad there's a place, a home away from home, where sinners recover from a life of sin, because we're under the ministry of the oil of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd say 90% of this congregation tonight grew up in a good home, grew up in a decent community, grew up in a good church. And most of the people in this building tonight, their testimony is not that God saved you out of deep, dark sin. Because most of you, if you had a daddy like I had, you wouldn't save from a whole lot. You say, why didn't you live bad before you got saved? Because my daddy would have beat the devil out of me. Somebody asked me about a generation gap. Yeah, daddy had a belt about that wide that would fill any gap you had. I'm going to tell you what kept me out of them dive holding passion pits. My daddy beat the devil out of me. Yours would you too. Brother Jim, you wasn't a drunkard. You wasn't a doper. You didn't cuss a lot. And that didn't come out right, but anyway, no, your daddy was right with God. I see some of these young married couples now. Your daddy brought you your wife. I mean, she didn't live a life of deep sin. Her daddy and mama brought her to that church where that man of God kept his grass mowed and he kept the preaching hot. And I mean, you're glad you grew up in a good church like that. God not only saved your soul, but Kim, he saved your life.
Yeah.
Oh, I look at the drunkards and I look at the dopers and I look at the people that has wasted their life and I think, boy, if it wasn't for my good mama and my good daddy, I'd have lived like that and wasted my life like that. 90% of this congregation grew up in a good family. But I want to tell you, I know there's some here tonight, bless God. You didn't have a Christian family. You didn't have a Christian heritage. You didn't have a Christian Christian home. Brother, you've done about everything there is to do. You've been there and you've done that. And the devil might destroy your mind and your body and your conscience and your life and your future. But my God, here you sat tonight where you thought you'd never be, with a Bible in your hand and a Jesus in your heart and a Holy Ghost in your life. Hey, I'm glad you can get over being messed up. You can get over being abused. You can get over being boogered up by sin. You can get over your past. You can make a full recovery, because my God, there's a place. It's a home away from home where we sit under the influence of the oil of the Holy Ghost that He pours into our life. Poured in. Poured in the oil. Woo! And He's going to make a full recovery. I got that right off. But when I read poured in oil and wine, that got me. So I do what most people do when they get gotten. I went to the Bible commentary. Found out he'd gotten too. He didn't know no more about it than I did. And then an old seminary professor of mine, Dr. Walter McMillan, something he said to me when I was 20 years old, resonated in my heart. Son, Scripture explains Scripture. He said, when you're reading something in the Bible and you don't understand it, don't stop, read on. God will explain Himself. So I read on. And I came to the Passion Week. And I came to the upper room experience, where Jesus instituted what we celebrate and commemorate as communion of the Lord's Supper. By the way, if there's any Yankees here tonight, it ain't the Lord's dinner, it's the Lord's Supper. Amen. King James.
Amen.
And He goes to that table. And while He's at that table, He picks up bread and says, "This is my body." And by the way, He is the blessed, baked, beautiful, bountiful, broken bread from Calvary.
Amen.
And I'm glad there's enough to feed every hungry sinner that I set at the table. He is the bread of life. But at that same setting, in that same sequence of events, He picked up the cup. And in the cup was the fruit of the vine. What is the fruit of the vine? Unfermented wine. Jesus held up the cup. He held up that cup that contained unfermented wine, the fruit of the vine. And Jesus held up that cup. Not Dr. Pink, not Dr. Joe, not Dr. Green, but Dr. Jesus, the greatest Bible teacher that ever lived, held up that cup and held up that fruit of the vine, held up that unfermented wine, and Jesus Himself said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remissions of sin." You say, what has that got to do with Jesus? Have you not read John chapter 15, verse 1? "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He's not that Isaiah unprofitable vine. He is that true vine, my God. And when they cut and wounded that true vine on that hill, here came His precious, pure, immaculate, holy, divine blood. You know what that is in our text tonight? It's a picture of the Holy Ghost applying the blood of Jesus Christ. You hear me tonight? I don't care where you've been, how long you've been gone, how far down you got. Bless God, you can recover. You can get over it. Your past is gone tonight, through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the blood of Jesus, you can recover from the fall at a place called the end. One of the greatest things God did for me was when He called me to go pastor almost 32 years ago now, 15 minutes from downtown Atlanta, Georgia. Where you people live and where I live is a different world. It ain't even, it's a different world. Where our church is 15 minutes from the bars and the nightclubs and the abortion clinic, all from downtown Atlanta. And by the time they get to our church, God, I'm not being vulgar. I wouldn't be that way in a holy place nor mixed company. But by the time they get to us, they done been there and done that. They done been to the divorce court multiple times. They done been to the dry out center. They done been to the sex addiction place. They done been here. They done been to the abortion clinic multiple times. By the time they walk in our place, they look like hell and smell like hell because it looks like they've already been to hell. But you say, oh God, Brother Arthur, what do you do with people like that? How do you run them to the cross? And you run them to Calvary. Woo! And you break open the oil. And you break open the wine. And you tell them the good news that God didn't come to call the righteous. Oh, but he come to call sinners to repentance. Hey, glory. And you give them what Jesus said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And you hear me tonight. I don't know how many divorces you've had, how many abortions you've had, how much you've wasted your body, how vile you've been in the sex world, how messed up you are from the dope world. My God, there's a bomb in Gilead. There's a sympathizing Savior. There's a Holy Ghost. And there's the blood of Jesus Christ. You ain't got to live like that. You ain't got to die like that. You ain't got to go to hell like that. There's somebody that, Lord have mercy, there is somebody that will give you a new lease on life. Woo! Lord have mercy. He said, son, I know you messed up. And I know you've been boogered up real bad. But I got this place. Where the stranger is welcome. Where the hungry are fed. Where the weary are rested. Where the sick are healed. Where the dirty are cleaned. Oh, but sir, I don't think them good people down there would like me. He said, we don't have anybody that fits that description down there. The only people that hangs around that inn are used to be's, was Nazis, and a bunch of recovering addicts. You'll fit in just fine. I told our church the other day, the day comes that dirty, filthy, low-down sinners are no longer welcome at our church. Bless God, I'm not welcome there because the Holy Ghost has left years ago. Our churches, I say, open the doors and open them wide. There's a hurting world up there. There's a messed up world up there. And you know what God can do because he's done it in your life. And it is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for others, he can do for you. I'm glad. Oh Lord, have mercy. In this wilderness, there is a place where the sinner can recover from the fall. Hallelujah. It's a place for the recovery of the sinner. Number two, quickly in our text, it is a place for the responsibility of the saved. When he got down there to that inn, Brother Scott, you be that man all boogered up. And he healed him up, fixed him up, brought him to that inn. And I love the way the King James worded it. It said, he gave to the host. Host. What is a host? He is somebody that entertains strangers. He a somebody that feeds the hungry. He's somebody that loves somebody and expecting nothing to return from that some. Whoop, whoop. He's somebody that helps others that can't help him back. He is somebody that loves others that can't love him back. And he says to that host, in my absence, you take care of him. And he even gave, now I want everybody to see me give Brother Burns this $20. You are my witnesses before God. This is not a love gift. This is a sermon illustration. And at the end of the sermon, I expect it back with interest. And so he gives him what he needs and says, in my absence, you take care of him. You do what I've been doing. Keep him under that oil. Keep him under that wine. Keep on loving him. Keep on taking care of him. Don't let him slip back. Don't let him go back to that old ditch. Love him in my stead. Take care of him. Oh God, I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight. You're glad when God saved you. He brought you to a place and a man of God and some people of God and some saints of God put their arm around you and said, we'll do it together. We'll beat the devil together. We'll walk out of this thing together. I'll do what Jesus did. I'll love you like Jesus. I'll be good to you like Jesus. Lord God, there's somebody tonight in your world that needs you to act like Jesus to them and love them and help them and encourage them so they won't go back to the world. Because that same Bible that tells us to go find a sinner is the same Bible that tells us to make disciples. I believe I can say this, and not one word of jealousy will swell up in your soul, because you was one of them. I'm going to tell you why Holly Springs was such a strong church. You had a host.
Amen.
You had a host that did what Jesus did.
Yes,
poured in the oil.
Yes.
Poured in the wine.
Yes.
I love to hear your testimony. How you never even been around old time religion. But you walked in that church. And for the first time in your life, you saw somebody get full of God and preach under the Holy Ghost. And even though you never heard it, you're by your own words, you said something down in there. Said, I like that. I wonder how many members that host in your life, that Sunday school teacher in your life, that man of God in your life, that saint of God in your life. They loved you, brother, and they prayed for you, and they walked with you, and they encouraged you. Somebody tonight needs your love and needs your prayer and needs your work. Let's leave here tonight and go be like Jesus to somebody. It's in that place of the recovery of the sinner. That place for the responsibility of the saved. Oh, but I close with this, and I preached it all night to scratch this itch. It's a place for the return of the Savior. As Ralph Sexton Sr. would say, whoop, how to make him want to climb a wall backwards. Comes over here, takes him to that innkeeper, takes him to that host, and says, in my absence, while I'm going away, take care of him. And when I come again, brother, you and him ain't seen the last of me. I may be gone, but not for long.
Amen.
I will
Amen.
Come again.
Amen.
It gets better.
Amen.
And when I come again,
Amen.
I will repay thee.
Amen.
So don't get up and tell people how hard it is to serve me. I'll make it worth the effort. I'll make it worth your time. Because it's payday someday when I come again. You say, what has that got to do with us? The last thing Jesus said when he left us, he said, I'm going to prepare a place. And if I go, I will come again. You ain't seen the last of Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, it'll be a payday someday. It ain't gonna cost you to serve God. It's worth it to serve God. It pays to serve God. He'll make it worth your efforts in this world and in the world to come. Somebody say glory right there. Hey, you know what the end is? It is a place to hang out till he comes back again. And I even read where Paul said he's coming back for the church. That means you. That means me. Now the Bible said when the Samaritan found this man, he was half dead. That means he was alive, but he was unconscious. So he brings him to this guy. And I don't know when he woke up, but can you imagine when he finally come to? Woo! Where am I? How did I get here? Oh, I smell good. What's all these bandages? What's the deal? And how would you like to heard him explain to him how he got there? Something like this. Oh, I know you don't remember, but you went down. You fell among the thieves. Son, they done a number on you. You was laying there in that ditch. A pitiful sight. A half a heartbeat from hell and one breath from the grave. And some guys came by that didn't love you and they couldn't help you. But somebody else came by. Somebody you've not met yet. Did you just get what I just said? Somebody you ain't met yet. I said yet. Emphasis on yet. And he loved you. And he bound you up. And he brought you to me. And I'm trying to take care of you. I can imagine as he says, wow. Wow. I imagine as he said something like this. Boy, oh boy, I wish I'd have said thank you. I would love to be able to see him and meet him and thank him. And I can hear him as he says, you're going to get your chance. Because the last thing he said when he walked out that door, when I come again, I've never really thanked him like I want to. I've never really praised him like I want to. I've never really worshiped him like I want to. But one day I will. One day I will. For when he comes again, I'll fall before him and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. The home, away from home, on our way home. And he's coming back and we're going home. Woo! So we'll leave the light on for you. Here is my closing argument. Lord, I've hung around my daughter so much. Lord have mercy. Here is my closing argument. There was no room for Jesus in their end. But there's room for you in his end. So come on in. Cause that, Lord have mercy, I gotta quit. Oh, cause that Calvary, he left the light on for you. And the door is open. And the welcome mat's out. And the light is on. Come on in. And let's recover. Let's rest. And let's wait for the shout. Cause there is a place where the weary are rested. The hunger fed. Yes, and the stranger is welcome. Let's stand tonight. The invitation is twofold. Number one tonight, if you've lived a bad, wicked, dark past, and every time you try to grow in the Lord and do something for God, the devil rattles them skeletons in your closet. Why don't you get on your knees tonight and say, God, I'm going to forget it because you did.
Amen.
And quit bringing it up.
Amen.
And let the blood of Jesus Christ get you over that.
Amen.
And the number two, and I'm going to have to pray myself. I preach myself under conviction. Because how many of us tonight, we know somebody. They're weak. They're baby Christians. They don't have the foundation that you and I had. And all they need is for somebody to come by and put an arm around them and say, we love you. And we're praying for you. And can I say this tonight? You'll never be more like Jesus than when you're investing in the lives of others. Somebody in your community needs God. Somebody on your job needs God. Somebody in your family needs God. Let's be a good host tonight and welcome sinners to come to Christ. People are coming from all over the tabernacle while we sing together, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. All that had gone before. What a day! What a day that will be when my Jesus lies with me and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a
I'm not trying to take over tonight, but how many, really, there's somebody under this tabernacle? You wouldn't be where you are in the Lord today if it hadn't been for their prayers, their support, their love. And so my brother Jim just sings a verse of that while he's praying. I believe some of the mama's boys going to be saved tonight as a result of this. I really believe that. While they're praying and they're playing this, if there's somebody under this tabernacle that they've been a host to you, they've been a kind blessing, like a drink of fresh water, won't you go to them and shake their hand? Give them a big old hug and say, thank you for being a good host to me. Thank you for praying with me. Thank you for praying for me. I'm glad we've got the Lord, and I'm glad we got one another praying. Let's sing together. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear,
no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one died for me.
What a day that will be
when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land.
Daddy, you're already in heaven, but I love you.
Christ's name. That would be changed. What a day. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there.
Oh my!
Wherever I will be with the one who died for me, what a day.
Church, what a day that will be
when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face.
Amen.
The one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day.
Lord, what preaching.
Amen.
Somebody said, I thought the end was a part of the Christmas story. Well, it is. Not that dignified place, but that place out back. Because that's where we all were, out back. And hey, because of him, it's Christmas in August. It's Christmas in September. It's Christmas in October, November, December, January. Every day of the month, every day of the year, because of him, you enjoy Christmas. Lord God, what preaching. I mean preaching. And I mean camp meeting preaching. Hallelujah. Lord, if this doesn't cause you to want to love God and get closer to God, you don't know him. You don't know him. Oh, Lord, go a-praying. Find somebody between now and tomorrow night and bring them to the inn tomorrow evening, Lord willing. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty if you've minded the Lord or in the inn.
Amen.